DoorDash had a problem. As their cloud-native environment scaled and developers delivered new features, their monitoring system kept breaking down. In an organization where data is used to make better decisions about technology and about the business, losing observability means the entire company loses their competitive edge. With Chronosphere, DoorDash is no longer losing visibility into their application suite. The key? Chronosphere is an open-source compatible, scalable, and reliable observability solution that gives the observability lead at DoorDash Business confidence and peace of mind. Read the full success story at snark.cloud/chronosphere. That's snark.cloud/chronosphere. Hello and welcome to the Last Week in AWS podcast. I'm Corey Quinn. It broke last week that AWS CMO Rachel Thornton is leaving Amazon and moving to Europe. I've more or less made fun of her entire org's efforts for the last 6 years, but taking the snark pants off for a minute, AWS marketing has built itself into something impressive and lasting. Her departure is very much a loss for AWS. Also, a quick clarification on last week's episode. When I said that someone should have been fired at IBM for buying Red Hat, my specific point wasn't clearly stated. Red Hat is awesome, and I really fail to see any kind of evidence that it's improved IBM's culture at all. It just reeks to me of a squandered opportunity. Onward. Amazon Aurora Serverless V1 now supports PostgreSQL 11 and in-place upgrade from PostgreSQL 10. Ah, hell, they're still adding features to V1, which means it hasn't gotten the classic treatment of being largely put out to pasture. Amazon CloudWatch evidently adds support for creating target customer segments for feature launches and experiments. Did someone on the CloudWatch team think about how this service name would make every headline mentioning it come across? Evidently not. Amazon EBS adds the ability to take crash-consistent snapshots of a subset of EBS volumes attached to an Amazon EC2 instance. This is handy for those wild folks who attach 12 EBS volumes to a single instance, but only want snapshots for some of them. Amazon S3 adds a new policy condition key to require or restrict server-side encryption with customer-provided keys, SSE-C. This one is purely for the compliance folks out there who should be almost dancing in the streets over this one. AWS Console mobile application adds support for Cost Explorer service. This makes the AWS Console mobile application now the second most expensive app on your phone after Robinhood. If only setting up multiple AWS profiles in the mobile app was less painful than passing a kidney stone. New AWS Private 5G. Build your own private mobile network. Well, why would I want to do that? Okay, now then. I'm amused by the lack of naming sensibility that went into this service. First, it doesn't yet support 5G, so its name is, at the moment, an overambitious marketing promise. Then, when 6G eventually comes out, what's AWS gonna do? Obviously, they'll launch a new version and call it AWS Private 5G V2. Building AWS Lambda governance and guardrails. Be forewarned, the first time your governance or guardrail makes Lambda harder for a developer to use, they're going right back to servers or containers for the next 6 years, so tread lightly. Estimating cost for Amazon SQS message processing using AWS Lambda. The real way that everyone estimates cost for AWS things is to run it for a bit and then do some simple arithmetic. Warning, this can end poorly if you don't check the pricing pages first.
Developers want to code fast, security wants to ship securely. And it all, of course, needs to be at scale and in the cloud. Well, that's where Snyk comes in. Backed by industry-leading intelligence, Snyk is a security platform that meets engineers where they are, finding and automatically fixing vulnerabilities in code, open source dependencies, containers, and cloud infrastructure. By the way, I love the fact that we are not calling cloud infrastructure and containers the same thing. Snyk also integrates seamlessly into all the tools and workflows that teams already use, so they never have to slow down, including AWS offerings like Code Pipeline, EKS, ECR, and many more that people actually use intelligently. Start your free account at sneak.co/morningbrief. That's SNYK.co/morningbrief. Develop fast. Stay secure. Sneak.
Introducing the new AWS Serverless Snippets Collection. So this is hosted on Serverless Land, which is basically an Amazon Basics version of cdkpatterns.com. Fine, I'm with you so far, but what about the serverless app repo? Nobody uses that thing anymore, including, apparently, AWS folks. Amazon EKS now supports Kubernetes 1.23. Why on earth would this not be branded as Kubernetes 1.23? Oh, right, because something that simple is already called ECS. IPv6 addressing with Amazon RDS. A thorough dive into the nuts and bolts of what you're going to want to consider if you're using IPv6 for RDS, which you're probably not doing yet. Use Amazon RDS Proxy to provide access to RDS databases across AWS accounts. Credit where due, this one doesn't feature traffic traversing the public internet. AWS named for the first time ever as a challenger in 2022 Gartner Magic Quadrant for Application Performance Monitoring and Observability. Having spent some time last week trying to get the AWS distro for OpenTelemetry working in a relatively trivial Lambda environment, I'm kind of surprised Gartner rated them even this highly. Dashboards as Code, a new approach to visualizing AWS APIs. When I attempt to visualize AWS APIs, I mostly just see a wall of red as my blood pressure spikes. And finally, announcing CDK for Terraform on AWS. I wonder what it would take to get my existing CDK ported over to this thing. Probably more work than I want to invest, honestly. And that's what happened last week in AWS. I'm cloud economist Corey Quinn. Talk soon.
Stay humble.